State Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor is heading to the Wisconsin Supreme Court after winning yesterday's election in a landslide. It's Wednesday, April 8th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow.
We believe that the people should be at the center of government.
Coming up on the show today, we'll get the very latest after Taylor's Supreme Court victory yesterday. Plus, the Board of Regents has voted unanimously to fire UW System President Jay Rothman. And hear about a Potawatomi-style corn soup as part of our Wisconsin Life Series Food Traditions. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Judge Chris Taylor won yesterday's election for a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and that means liberals will expand their majority on the state's high court. Anya Van Wagtendonk has more.
Taylor's unofficial victory was declared less than 40 minutes after polls closed. Speaking to a watch party in downtown Madison, Taylor said her win is about democracy.
Once again, Wisconsin showed the entire nation that we believe that the people should be at the center of government. And the priority of our judiciary.
Unlike recent years, this race received less fanfare and money because the court's majority was not up for grabs. But Taylor's victory over her conservative opponent, Maria Lazar, means that liberals will now have a 5-2 majority and control the court until at least 2030. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The mood at conservative Judge Maria Lazar's election night party was far more subdued, with more reporters than supporters inside the Ingleside Hotel Ballroom in Pewaukee. Lazar told her supporters not to be sad. She said running for Supreme Court was one of her greatest honors, and she's proud her campaign focused on judicial experience, not politics.
But I don't think that I've run this race for no purpose. I think that this race was run so that people in this state from now on will know that judicial races are not political races.
Taylor defeated Lazar by roughly 20 percentage points, according to unofficial numbers from the Associated Press. There will be another Supreme Court election next April. The man leading Wisconsin's public university system has been fired. As Sarah Lear reports, this follows a vote yesterday from the Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents.
The vote to immediately terminate Jay Rothman as Universities of Wisconsin president was unanimous. There was no public discussion of that decision during Tuesday's meeting, apart from prepared remarks read by Board President Amy Bogost.
As an at-will employee of the Board of Regents, the system president serves at the pleasure of the board, which bears the responsibility of determining whether its chosen leader continues to hold its confidence.
Bogost indicated that issues were raised during Rothman's annual review, but her statement did not point to specific problems. According to Rothman, Regents never gave him a clear reason for his ouster. He said he was proud of his accomplishments, including expanding continuing education and securing a state funding increase. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Rockwell Automation is moving forward with plans to develop a state-of-the-art factory in New Berlin. The Milwaukee-based industrial automation company has filed zoning-related applications with the city to build a facility off South Moreland Road between Grange and College Avenues. Rockwell announced the project in November 2025 and revealed that the new facility would be built in New Berlin during a February earnings call. The new facility is part of a five-year, $2 billion investment in domestic manufacturing, which the company announced last year. According to Rockwell, the new Berlin facility will include approximately 1 million square feet of manufacturing and warehouse space, which could make it the company's largest manufacturing site in the world. Antitrust lawsuits filed across the country against three major fire truck manufacturers will now be handled together in federal court. As Joe Schultz reports, two of those manufacturers are based in Wisconsin.
A federal panel has ordered at least a dozen cases to be moved to the Eastern District of Wisconsin for coordinated or consolidated pretrial proceedings. Cities and fire departments are suing Oshkosh Corporation, Rev Group, and Rosenbauer America. Oshkosh Corporation and Rev Group are based in Wisconsin. Rosenbauer America is headquartered in South Dakota. The suits allege the companies control most fire truck market and work together to limit competition and drive up prices. The companies have denied the claims. They point to supply chain disruptions and increased demand following the pandemic. The lawsuits claim fire truck prices have doubled over the past decade, with some departments waiting years for new vehicles. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, the latest in our Wisconsin Life series on food traditions. Stay with us.
There's a certain spirit about being a Wisconsinite.
On Wisconsin Weekend, we celebrate that by exploring the stories that make the state special.
And we meet people doing interesting things who don't always make it into the headlines.
Connect with your Wisconsin community on Wisconsin Weekend.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with the story about a food tradition.
Corn has been grown for thousands of years across North America, and tribes have been making different variations of corn soups for generations. WPR's Danielle Kading caught up with a Red Cliff tribal member who cooks a Potawatomi-style corn soup handed down from her husband's family. It's part of the Wisconsin Life series, Food Traditions.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is just take some of the meat off of the pork neck bones and put it back into the stock.
That's Sarah Gordon Altman, or Nagano Sekwe in Ojibwe. She's preparing a Potawatomi-style corn soup. The recipe comes from her husband's mother, and it's made with a white corn variety that comes from Walpole Island First Nation. It's home to a community of Potawatomi, Ojibwe, and Ottawa in Canada.
I'll just get this meat cut up, and I'll show you the corn. After that,
she's using a white dent corn that's made into hominy through nixtamalization. That's a process where kernels are cooked and steeped in an alkaline solution like calcium hydroxide or lye. She says the corn is processed using hardwood ashes that contain a lye-like substance to help remove the outer hull.
And you can grind it, and that's what you make masa for, like tortillas and things like that out of. And when you do that, it actually makes it nutrient rich and available for you. But if you just eat corn that's ground, you cannot get the nutrients out of it until it's nixtamalized.
Long ago, she says people would heat stones that had lime in them and add those to water, creating the right conditions to remove the corn's outer hull. She says that process was carried north from Mexico to tribes in the Midwest through trade routes.
So this food, this kind of corn soup idea, is something that crosses all over the continent. Like, it's a huge thing, but every different, you know, tribe has their own form of it. And so this is the Potawatomi way of doing it, basically.
On the stove, she sautés onions for the soup. On a back burner, navy beans and smoked meat simmer in a broth that she cooked for hours the night before. Typically, she and her husband make this soup in the fall, and she adds her own twist to the meal with homemade tortillas that are dipped in the dish.
Yeah, my kids last night when I started making the broth, they were like, "Are you making bacon? Is that bacon? What's that delicious smell?" I'm like, no, it's smoked meat. And they're like, "Oh, can we have some?" It's like, it's not ready yet.
She's a member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa on her dad's side. That's where her father grew up. She says he and her husband gravitated to these large soups.
Naboop is what we call it in Ojibwe. And it's something that you would use all winter long because a lot of our ingredients were dried. Like manumin would have, wild rice would have been dried. You could dry this hominy and carry it where it's actually dehydrated.
She adds in dried ramps, which are dehydrated wild onions harvested from the forest.
The other thing that I'm going to add a little bit of is some black pepper.
Once the hominy is added, she says it doesn't take long before it's ready to serve.
That's it. We're ready to roll here. I'm going to get a bowl.
The dish reminds her of the summer she spent on her grandpa's farm in Fond du Lac. She and her brother would play in grain bins filled with field corn that would be used as feed for dairy cows. Her husband has been going to Walpole Island to haul bags of corn for processing for years.
And they have community harvesting events. So they'll go out and the tribe will just cut all the corn down, and you go out and you just haul away whatever corn your family needs for the year.
She says she feels good that her kids get to grow up eating traditional foods like this.
These foods are their favorite things because these are their home-cooked meals, and that's like what I really like, that they get to keep those food traditions alive.
Not only that, she says they hear stories of where these dishes came from and see how they're made from start to finish.
WPR's Danielle Kading brought us that story. It's part of a project from Wisconsin Life called Food Traditions, a multimedia exploration of food, culture, and identity. Find more stories at wisconsinlife.org/foodtraditions. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we got to get your forecast in before leaving you for the day. Scattered light rain in parts of central and eastern Wisconsin to start the day today, eventually getting into the 50s and 60s, but it is going to be cloudy and windy throughout the day. Rain ends by about midnight for most, but lingers in southeastern Wisconsin overnight, with lows in the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, highs into the 40s and 50s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. A very busy news day. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today is Courtney Everett. Hey, if you're a first-time listener just looking for election results, or maybe you've been here for a while and you keep coming back, either way, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening right now. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.